can you please tell us how Studio A came about in the first place?
Sure. So around about 10 years ago, without giving it a lot of thought, to be honest, I volunteered to work at a place called Studio Arts, and that's now the parent organisation of Studio A. Mm. And Studio Arts provide more recreationally focused creative programs for adults with disability. About close to 200 adults with intellectual disability go to Studio Arts. So I'm trained as an artist, and I volunteered to work there in their art room. And what I discovered, having no experience at all with people with disability, was a collective of people there making incredible artwork and having the opportunity to show that artwork. A lot of the people there that I met had never even heard of a gallery. Those artists all have an intellectual disability. They might have Down syndrome or autism, and they struggle with some aspects of life. But when it came to art, they had this incredible focus and really were making really strong artwork. And I, at the time, was attending hipster, trendy art exhibition openings across Sydney. And I thought, well, this work is just as good as work in galleries across Sydney. Why doesn't this work get a chance to be seen? And also, why aren't these people getting a chance to meet like-minded artists and develop their practice? So essentially, it was that, I guess, recognition of a need that inspired the evolution of Studio A.
Yeah, absolutely. You have discussed previously how one of the main assumptions is that art for individuals with physical or intellectual disabilities is a form of art therapy or art as recreation rather than, you know, actual art that is that they're actually creating. How does Studio A go about debunking that assumption?
I think, like, our tagline, for instance, is "We make great art." And so by always prefacing the strength of the artwork, and in our marketing strategy, for instance, what we show first is the quality of the artwork. We show an image first before we mention disability, because I find the stereotype or the cultural assumption that if you have a disability, you can't make great art is so profound that if you have a, unless someone has really, you know, interacted with this kind of work before, when I tell someone what I do, as soon as I mention the word disability, I just see that kind of look of compassion or look of like, oh, you know, that's really sweet that you do this kind of work. It's probably not going to be very good, but that's really sweet. There's just such a forceful correlation in our culture between intellectual capacity and art. So that the best way I find to counter that is to simply show the artwork, and people are convinced when they see the artwork, the strength of the work itself, and that's what Studio A is about. So I guess that's the most profound way that we counter it, simply by getting the art out there and getting it into the right platforms.
Yeah, it's always good when you can let the art talk for itself and let the rest of it kind of just be on the sideline, really.
And in the end, that's what it is about. We are inspired by the quality of the work.
Yeah, absolutely. The average wage for an ADE, Australian Disability Enterprise worker, is $3.50 an hour, yet the artists at Studio A are now earning an income commensurate to working artists without a disability, which is actually an amazing outcome. Mm. How was Studio A able to, you know, break down that wage barrier?
I think it's why Studio A exists. So it's the professional systems and structures that we've put in to support the artists. For instance, it's about developing their talent, number one, so making sure that the artists are getting to meet, as I said earlier, like-minded artists, or being able to access institutions like the University of New South Wales Art and Design, and getting a chance to foster their work and get better and better at their particular medium. That's number one. Their skill has to be good. But secondly, it's putting in place things like marketing strategies for each artist and being aware where this particular artist should be targeting their practice toward. One of our artists, Daniel Kim, he is a highly representational style of artist. He can kind of paint like a photograph. And when I first met Daniel, he was getting work, being paid about $3 an hour, putting dog collars into boxes, when he has that kind of skill that could really command money for the quality of art that he does.
Yeah.
So we recognised a market for Daniel in the corporate sector, and we really strategically targeted his work towards that area, and now he's getting quite regular commissions for several thousand dollars to do portraits for CEOs or to do landscapes or portraits of government ministers. So I think it's myself undertaking business training and understanding how you actually can derive income streams, not just for Studio A, but for the particular artist.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
You
also create, I guess, in light of that, an individualized approach to each artist, helping them to pitch art galleries or create a CV and a business plan to point them in the right direction, as you were just explaining. How have you seen this aid in helping artists as to be seen as a working professional artist in the industry?
I think it's akin to any artist. And it's by finding the right, as I said earlier, it's finding the right platforms for the particular artist's work. And it's also by ensuring that it's not just me. It's my job to be an ambassador for the artists. But it's ensuring that we have the right kind of peer supporters and we have people respected in the industry for their craft who are endorsing the quality of our artists' work. So as I said earlier, we have quite a range of styles at Studio A. So we have artists who make video games, artists who do installation, performance art, and we link those artists with a like-minded cohort. And so it means that their professional peers end up endorsing their work to others in the industry. And because those peers are respected, their voice is respected and their opinion is respected. So I think that's really important, the networks that we've established.
Yeah, that sounds like, I mean, it's always very important to have good people around you, especially in industries such as that of art and all that other kind of stuff. Over your 10 years of experience working with artists with disabilities, what changes have you found in the recognition and acceptance of artists in the art industry?
Lots of things, which is really, really inspiring. Years ago, I remember trying to I should preface this by saying some of the artists, or a lot of the artists I work with, can't read or write. And so when it comes to trying to submit a grant application, they are just out of the game. They cannot do it. And so, say, like 8 years ago, I tried to write a grant application to an arts funding body on behalf of an artist, and they just couldn't understand why I needed to write it and why the artist couldn't write it themselves. And that now is not a situation that I encounter very often. Mm. And years ago, going to a gallery, trying to showcase or speak for our artists and try and get galleries to show them, there was a lot of shut doors. Whereas now the paths that we've paved mean that some Studio A artists, like Tom Roberts, have been curated into the National this year at Carriage Works. And that kind of outcome was the inspiration for starting Studio A, that kind of lack of opportunity and lack of visibility for the work of our artists. So it's really all the relationships that have been built over the last few years. And it is also support from places like Create New South Wales, who have given us consistent funding and a range of other partners that we've worked with. And I must say places like Carriage Works, who have had the interest and had the courage and the kind of been those path makers in presenting the work of places like Studio A.
Well, it's absolutely just brilliant to hear how it's all going and how it has changed for the better. It's extremely important and interesting work that you do as well, being like bettering people that aren't able to exactly better themselves without help is just something that's incredibly important, especially in the society we live in today with, materialistic and it's quite commercialistic. So if you haven't got the right tools in life, it's going to be quite difficult. So it's very good to hear that Studio A is a thing and that it's doing amazingly good work. So thank you so much, Gabrielle, for joining us this morning and telling us about all the good work that you do.
No problem. Thanks so much for your interest. And it's having platforms like yourselves who help us tell the Studio A story that make a difference. So thank you.